Rotten Science presents, in association with StarPix, Alana Glazer, Human Magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Alana Glazer.
From backstage, Alana struts out in a short black dress. She dances a few paces and briefly claps. She grabs a mic next to a bar stool.
I wish I was wearing nipple covers, actually. Oh my gosh. So I became a parent about 2 years ago. Thank you. And I have been most shocked by the joy. Seriously, because they tell you, you know, it's the hardest job of your life. And it is. It's so hard. Yeah. They say, you won't sleep for 18 years. And due to lack of sleep... There's my laugher. I got him. And due to lack of sleep, I am experiencing cognitive decline. But it's just been so joyous. I'm shocked. I've been having a magical experience as a parent. And that magic for me began at conception. So I had not done that like that.
She points to the side.
Until I was trying to get pregnant. I had not done it raw dog, whole hog. I'm talking bar into cog. Yum?
She nods.
It feels really good, you know? I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. The reason I had never done it to completion with secretion is because I never went on birth control. The time to go on birth control is in high school because you cannot trust children with these matters. It is safer to medicate our daughters 24/7 than it is to trust a high school boy to roll a condom on correctly. Yeah. I would trust a dog with his goofy paws, like, ooh.
She squats lightly and shakes.
Over that bizarre tiered penis? Before I'd think Tyler Wizawati could get it right, you know what I mean? So I did not need birth control because my poorly straightened hair and commitment to jazz band was doing all the work for me. Yeah. I was like, who needs sexual experience when you got Miles Davis, baby? Yeah, short answer, me. And with the hair, I kind of looked like Miles toward the end. Then I used condoms for many years. LOL, used condoms. Every time I've opened a condom in my life, I've wondered, has this been used? Condoms are gross fresh. Is that factory standard, you know? Some guys at the end of the assembly line, like, come on, here we go.
She grabs her crotch.
Pow! Pack it up. Gimme. Ah! Ship it off!
She gestures to the side.
My partner and I have been using the pull-out method for a long time. I mean, he's really the one using it. I have just been watching in awe. Wow. The pull-out method requires high-stakes decision-making with precision timing. A guy who can pull out can negotiate a hostage situation, you know? I couldn't have that responsibility, you know? What would it look like if it were on me? Like...
Anyway. She hops back, keeping her feet apart.
I don't have the core strength. No. Pulling out is sex that becomes yoga, you know? Fucking that pivots to planking. The pull-out method is like a really special meal you've planned for, with multiple courses. And when the final course arrives, that's what everybody's been really waiting for, dessert. And the server places before you the perfect slice of flourless chocolate cake while maintaining eye contact. And you break off a forkful, and before it reaches your lips, she smacks it out of your hand. On the backhand, slaps you across the face. And then she grabs that bite, wraps it up in a tissue, and flushes it. That's the pull-out method. Yeah. Think about high school. You remember blue balls? That scam? You remember that fucking sham? Blue balls was the election fraud of our high school years. Total fucking lie. And back when I was in high school, we had a new kind of boy on the block. Emo boys. We were all familiar with the jock type, football players. But these boys were different, these emo boys. They looked like us. They too wore jeggings. And they also sported a smoky eye. And they had their something about Mary hair, but pasted to the forehead. So because these boys were different, we thought they would treat us differently than boys of the past. But no, they were also like, come on, you gotta suck my dick or else I'll get blue balls. I fell for it. I thought it was a medical condition. You know what I mean? I was like, quick, put it in. Oh my God. Thought I had saved a life. You know? It was such a jizzy time for fashion. I think about the Olsen twins a lot. Anybody? They've been there the whole time. I think they're feminist heroes. The Olsen twins were cast in Full House at 6 months old as hot babies. What? And they made it out okay, more than okay. The Olsen twins have this luxury fashion line called The Row. You know it? So gorgeous, these clothes. They look like they should only be worn by ghosts. Because you're sort of just floating inches above the ground in these clothes. Their taste is impeccable. They beat the odds. The Olsen twins aren't supposed to have a clothing line called The Row. They're supposed to have a tequila line called Double Trouble. Yeah? But I think the most punk shit the Olsen twins ever did was when Mary-Kate married that 60-year-old French monster. Because I think she was trolling us. She could have had someone who was on Laguna Beach. Instead, she chose someone who was on the beaches of Normandy. Remember those pictures of them making out at French basketball games? Or I don't know what they do over there, croissant competitions, whatever. He was like, oh.
She hunches forward, grabbing out.
Mary-Kate was like, is this what you wanted?
She flips off the audience, licking her tongue out.
I was like, Mary-Kate, cut it out, dog. Girl, have mercy, please. She did have mercy. They got a divorce. Anybody divorced in here? Woo, yes, good for you. Clap it up for the divorcees here tonight. Yes. You don't like it? Get out of here, you know? I'm proud of you, excellent. I'm married. Just a divorce enthusiast, you know? Because marriage is hard. You know, I feel so lucky to be married to my husband, but it's hard at baseline to be a woman married to a man. Because I see him sometimes as some man instead of the person I chose to build my life with. You know? I see the whole world this way. I look at tall buildings, I see boners in the sky. New York City is the world's biggest dick measuring contest, you know? The buildings are like, look at me, I'm so tall. Next one's like, look at me, I'm angled. Ooh. City Hall's like, hey, it's not all about the height, fellas, come on.
Squatting down, she looks up.
It stops you from being fully present, seeing the world this way. Like, I am so thrilled to be here with you tonight. I'm feeling honored and privileged to serve you my comedy. I'm feeling locked in. And yet, there is a voice in the back of my mind saying, how is it, Alana, that you're allowed to take up this space for an hour? the queer, Jewy woman that you are. I'll tell you how.
She pretends to give the mic a blowjob, then a hand job with her tongue out.
I have a dick in my face the entire time. If the only way I can be heard is through a dick, you should have to listen to me through little pussy speakers, I think. Why is a mic gotta be shaped like this? Also, Mike?
She air quotes and shrugs her hands out.
We get it, Mike. Okay, get over yourself. Why couldn't a microphone be two titties, you know? Left and right in stereo or something. Some sound engineer in the room was like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, it has to be penis shaped. I don't think so. I think if you were a little more innovative, we could have titty mics and I could be motorboating this whole show. But it sounds like I don't love guys, like I hate guys or something. But I literally love guys. Like, I suck a dick, you know what I mean? Like, I suck a dick, you know, like. And it's not just like a transaction. I'm like, you know, like, up in there, you know? So I do love guys. The problem I tend to have is with men. There's a difference. You can feel the difference. Guys help you move. Men stand in your way of getting a job. Guys let you merge. Men go.
Holding her mic out like a steering wheel, she shakes her head. Alana shrugs and gestures toward the wheel with a frown.
Guys wear gray sweatpants to get groceries. Men wear jeans to the gym. And if you're one of the guys, you're actually a woman. If you're one of the men, you're in a police report. So I love guys. Got myself a good guy. My husband is really hot. And that is the most important thing to me. My husband's brilliant. He has a PhD. Yeah. He has a PhD. I have an LOL. It's good for the clowning, though.
Yeah. She steps into a slight bow.
And my husband's the emotional leader in our relationship. I do this thing where I'll build up resentment over time and act like a bitch. And then suddenly burst into tears, take a beat, and repeat.
Her finger turns in a circle.
When my husband's sad, he goes, I'm sad.
She puts a hand to her heart.
And I'm like,
She taps her heart.
I'm wet. Saying your feelings as they occur? Come on. Love it. So I got myself a good guy. But because he has moved through this world for 43 years as a man, without me, he cannot buy a shirt. He gets confused and overwhelmed. I have to line up tabs on an iPad, a dedicated device, and really sell it to him, you know? I'm like, this one's Uniqlo. Okay, we got the Gap. My husband's like, hold on.
She rests against the bar stool.
Can I just see some solid colors, please? I'm like, you know what? Let's just put it in the cart and mommy will return it if you don't like it, okay? My husband's like, yeah, but like, what size am I? I'm like, medium. My husband can explain quantum mechanics over a joint, cannot press checkout on the Everlane website. But he got me pregnant, so suddenly I was buying shirts for three. So when I was pregnant, I was shooting a TV show for 6 months in LA, and I was sick the entire time I was shooting. I couldn't believe it. It kept going and going. Every morning, I would get to set, go to my trailer, and then bolt to the bathroom to puke foam. Foam. Like facial foaming cleanser foam. I was like, am I gonna be put down? Might I bite the leg of a crew member? No. I was genuinely scared. I had never heard of this before. So I called my mom and she goes, that is very funny. When I was pregnant with you, every day at 4:30, I would puke foam. I totally forgot. Bitch, you forgot? This is Women's Fight Club. Men like write stories about wrestling in basements and they have to pinky swear never to tell anybody they kissed.
Holding up her pinky, she tilts her head back, eyes closed.
While women puke silently in public restrooms and, oh, black it out! Now, while most pregnant actors have to hide their little bumps on set and on screen, my belly was not an issue. I stayed pretty small till the very end. But I had two other major issues to deal with, and that was my chest bellies. These were not titties, they were tatas. Whatever bazoongas are, I had them on my chest. I looked like 14-year-old boys designed me in a lab. The show I was filming took place on one night, so we shot very much in continuity. It looks like I'm having an allergic reaction over the course of the night. They're hitting my chin, guys. I couldn't get underwater for months, seriously. If I took a bath, I'd have to use a cup to wash my hair. This was not the first time my titties had sprung on me in my life. I got big titties young. I was about 9 years old when they first appeared. They were just leading me around the world. Like, just like, I was like, go left, what?
Alana flutters to the side.
And it was surprising, because I think they skipped a generation, because my mom has these, just these cute little, just a kiss a titty. I was bigger than my mom in fifth grade. 10 years old, I just had these big old swinging.
She sways an arm like a pendulum.
Jewish, you know. Shtetl titties. I looked like I could feed the community, you know?
She holds an arm out.
That was when I started being treated like a woman out in the world. I was getting babysitting jobs. That was pretty lit. I was just babysitting other fifth graders, you know? I was like, should we have candy for lunch? Yeah, dope, dope. That was also when I started getting that hand on my lower back, gently guiding me through doorways. That ended this year. I miss it.
She curtsies with a tense grin.
I mean, first of all, it was helpful, you know? Just to make, like, sense of those lines, like.
She walks rigidly forward.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
She looks back and nods.
And also, you know, I like to be touched at times. So now, before I go through any doorway, I'll take a beat real quick. I'll be like.
She looks around demurely. She gently arches her back, sticking her butt out.
Okay, I guess nobody wants to skim the top of my ass crack today. All right. It can be so mortifying to be a woman in this world. Toward the end of my pregnancy, I was at my doctor's office getting a sonogram of my belly. LOL, much if I was like, of my butt. Like, what? On my belly. And she said, Alana, it appears your baby is breech. And I was like, totally breech, right? Like,
Alana brushes her hair back.
What is breech again? Quick refresher on breech, please. So when a baby's about to be born, you want them forehead to pussy, okay? Just knock, knock, knocking on that pussy door like, hello, mama. Hi. Here's Johnny. Just kidding. Here's your baby ready to be born, okay? My baby was breech. She was tushy to pussy, sitting like a baby Buddha on my pelvic floor.
She squats down.
Ready to jump feet first like a Super Mario Brother down a tube.
She pops up.
So my doctor said, because we're in your 37th week, we should probably schedule a C-section. So I was upset at first because I had not emotionally prepared for the possibility of a C-section. And don't get me wrong, C-sections are fucking fire, okay? They are tight, all right? I mean, they're like major surgery that takes months to heal from, but they're fire because they get a baby out healthy, and they're tight because, well, you know. but I was just taken aback. So I asked her, are there any other options? And she said, there is one, actually. So you would come on down to the operating room. I was like, okay. She was like, and we would fully anesthetize you. And I was like, all right. And she was like, and me and her words, some other woman.
She does air quotes and holds her hands out.
Is she in the hospital system? Some other woman. Could be the cashier at the bodega down the block. It might be Reese Witherspoon. We don't know. We can't know. Some, any, me and some other woman would push and pull the baby from the outside, twist and turn this baby, spin it into place, and then we would really hope it sticks.
She crosses her fingers.
I was like, you know, it sounds pretty chill right about now. A fucking C-section. Okay. So you can slide that into my Google Cal. Thank you. Bye-bye. What? So I go home and I'm not fully settled with this plan. So I do a little research of my own. I Googled spinning babies. Half hoping to find like a baby DJ collective, you know? They're like, ba-ba-ba breach, we the best fetus. But what I found was equally as surprising, which was a method called spinning babies. And the method suggests that the pregnant person takes out their ironing board and removes their husband's dress shirt off of it. And you promise you'll get back to the ironing when the spinning is done. These shirts will be hard-pressed for the morning, sir.
She slowly curtsies into a bow.
And you lean the ironing board off of the couch onto the floor, straddle the ironing board, and roll backwards, hang upside down, and pray lava lamp technology occurs? What? We as a human race have invented luxury airplanes with glass floors so that Musk or Zuck can look down on us while they take dumps in the sky. And we have not figured out a better way to spin babies in women's bodies. So I was like, okay, got it. I'm not gonna do this, haha. I'm not gonna do the ironing board part, but I get it, get my body inverted. So I got into the position that got me into this position in the first place. And that's face down, ass up. Face down, ass up, that's the way I turn my baby right side up. And sometimes the way I like to fuck. Okay, so I got face down, ass up, and I watched the first half of Aladdin. So the next morning, I finish Aladdin. And when I get off the couch, I find a puddle where I had been sitting. Now, Aladdin's hot, obviously. Like, so weirdly hot. You know what I mean? He's like so nimble, you know, and no shirts for Aladdin, vests only. Each step he's flashing nipple, 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 you know? And I know he's not Jewish, but he's like wearing a kippah. I'm like, what's up, Aladdin? What's going on, dude, you know? But this amount of liquid was alarming. So I call my doctor, and I tell her about the puddle, and Aladdin's hot, obviously. And she said, no, Alana, I don't think this is Aladdin. I think you're in labor. I want you to come on down to the hospital! I was like, woo, bitch, I'm nervous. So I go to the hospital and I'm greeted by two residents, a guy resident and a gal resident. And first thing I notice, they're young. This is happening to me increasingly. People younger than me with jobs way more legitimate than me. I was like, what grade are you guys in? And they did have a young feel because the guy resident said to me, listen, I have to address the elephant in the room. And I was like,
she looks around. She gestures to herself.
He said, I have to tell you, I'm your biggest fan. And then I said, and now you're gonna see my pussy? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. And he did. Whole thing, tip to tail, guys. belly button to behind button. The only two people who've seen my entire undercarriage in the past 5 years are the love of my life and my biggest fan. Oh. Mortifying. But I got a plot twist for you.
She squats.
After I got finger blasted by my biggest fan.
She pops up.
It turned out I wasn't even in labor. False alarm. Joke's on me, Alana the clown. Getting fingered by her fans. Yeah. Yeah. Got a little bonus, Jonas. After the diddling, they performed a sonogram and the baby had spun into the correct position. Yeah. Crazy. 30 minutes of solo doggy style worked. And the medical alternative was for my doctor and some broad to drug me and beat me up. Thank God for Google. Yeah. So a couple weeks later, I had this baby. And when she was laid on my chest, I said to her those three magic words. Holy fucking shit! Holy fucking shit! Magic! Human magic! I was like, you are magic, I am magic, we are magic. I said to my husband, you witnessed magic, you are so lucky. It was us, girl! Oh my goodness, it was a miraculous time. It was also a little sad. I don't know if you guys have ever met a baby, but they are pathetic. They're all like, ha, you know, just like.
She twitches slightly.
A jelly neck, you know? Totally helpless. And they look at you like, why am I here? I don't know, I thought you'd be cute. Also like, welcome to hell. Sorry. Seriously, sorry. This was for me. Not for you, you know? You are gonna be so mad. Yo. Yo. I thought having a baby was so hard, but raising a toddler is so much harder. The gumption, the opinions. My daughter cannot stand to see my hair pulled back. I suppose because it's hideous. I'll walk in the room wearing a scrunchie and she goes, take that down. Take that down, I like it long. She's like my mafia boyfriend. You know? It's like, put a dress on. I like you in a dress. Also, I'm like, my hair doesn't do long. You like it wide? What? There's no anxiety like being a parent. When they're newborns, it's petrifying. It feels like they're on the edge of death at all times. Like they were just not alive, you know? But a couple years later, as my love grows, my anxiety grows. This shit is getting so cute, I feel like my heart's gonna explode. We've been listening to Paul Simon, and now my daughter makes requests. She goes, Mama, Paul Simon?
Yeah.
Mama, Paul Simon? I say, what do you say? She says, peeve. I wanna burst into flames, you know? I wanna take a whiskey glass and smash it on my forehead. My husband and I look at each other, we go, fuck! Could be headbutt. The only solution I can imagine is if I were somehow able to roll her up like a yoga mat and insert her like a tampon and put her back inside, you know? Girl can dream. But I've struggled with anxiety even since before I was a parent. I've struggled with anxiety and depression for 37 years. And I am only 36. Even in utero, I knew. I was like, ooh, looks rough out there. My anxiety comes from wanting things to be perfect. And I wanted the first trip we ever took as a family to be perfect. But it was to Florida. So it was not perfect. But it did turn out to be perfectly Florida. Allow me to explain. So during COVID, my parents sold the house I grew up in on Long Island and moved down to Florida full time. So for the past couple years, we've been renting an Airbnb for a couple weeks and visiting them. And it has been so lovely to get out of New York's winters. And New York City winter has an extra layer of grotesque on it. This year, the week we left for Florida, I spotted an IUD on the sidewalk.
She shrugs and winces.
My first, you know. How did that get there? Like, what? Some woman is done with dating in New York. She's like, nope, 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 bam, you know. Takes a couple pushes, she's like, double up, bam, bam, there it is. Fuck this, I'm deleting Hinge. And last year was the first time I ever traveled with a baby. My baby, obviously. I would never travel with a baby because it is a nightmare. Shit is constantly just spilling over. Like something falls, you pick it up. Something falls, pick it up. Something falls, pick it up. Just crab walking through JFK, you know? The baby itself is spilling over. It can't hold its fucking head up. So we land in Fort Lauderdale, and I call the Airbnb host to make sure everything's perfect, and he assured me the house had been scrubbed and sanitized and sterilized that very morning. And when we got there, he was right. This home was sparkling. You could do a line from one end of the house to the other, which is standard protocol for a Florida home inspection, so we felt like locals. It really was a slick home. I noticed even the couch was slick. It wasn't fabric. It was one of those squeakers, you know, eater, eater. And I noticed it was giving more bench than couch. It was shallow. I was like, okay, clocked, all right. So I'm checking the place out, and I go to the main bedroom where my husband and I would be sleeping, and I noticed this little shelf about 6 feet high with an outlet next to it. And I thought, that's cute. Maybe this Airbnb host puts like an old school alarm clock up there so his guests aren't hitting the snooze, you know, but rather getting up with a little pep in their step to go catch that Florida sunshine. So whenever I get to an Airbnb, I have to minimize the decor. Let me give you a sense of the price range I rent in. There is always a black and white framed poster of Marilyn Monroe. Right. And there was an oversized chess set, the pawn bigger than my palm. I was like, I'm not large enough nor smart enough for this game. So I tucked the chess set under the bench couch and went to take Marilyn off the wall. And listen, God bless Marilyn Monroe. I love her, you know, I love that smize, but under the smize, the eyes are like, the FBI did it, Alana, you know? I don't wanna look at that for a month. So I took poor Marilyn off the wall when I discovered, slapped on the wall behind Marilyn, was a giant bumper sticker that said, Brazzers. For those of you who don't know what Brazzers is, congratulations, you weren't addicted to porn right before 9/11. Good for you, huh? You think you're better than us, huh? Brazzers is the number one best porn site in the world.
She gestures elegantly.
According to Brazzers. So I had rented a porn house. I had rented a house cute enough, but cheap enough that you could film a porn or two in there and make your money back quickly. I had rented a porn house with my perfect newborn baby. Suddenly I was the main character in an M. Night Shyamalan movie, putting the pieces together, you know? It was like that couch, that bench couch, so shallow.
She looks around.
You can't spread your ass cheeks binge watching the Great British Bake Off on this couch. This is a couch for giving and getting head. Because you can only sit in it for like 90 seconds before opening your legs wide or folding them behind your ears. That chess set, that pawn.
She opens her mouth in realization.
Girthy. Flared at the base. Maybe we keep that one out, though. We could bring it to the bedroom where that shelf is not for an alarm clock. It's for a camera. With the outlet right there so the camera can stay plugged in when the orgasm occurs. His, obviously. I was like, the shampoo was cum. It's been cum this whole time! Scrubbed and sanitized and sterilized. Yeah, I bet, bitch!
Jesus!
Suddenly I was scouring Brazzers for the work. I had to. It looked like half these videos had been filmed in this house. I was like, is that comforter this comforter? Eventually I said to my husband, you're hot. Should we upload some videos and make some money back in this fucking porn house? You think Brazzers has like a work study program or? You know, I don't have a problem with porn. I love porn. I just don't want to sleep on a porn set, you know? I'll eat a burger, just not in the slaughterhouse. I do love porn. I love good porn. I started paying for porn when the pandemic hit because it became so important to support small businesses.
Alana holds up a finger.
Jerf local, guys.
She pumps her fist.
These are cage-free porn stars. Unless, of course, they choose the cage. I subscribe to a woman-made porn site because at some point, the sidebar ads on the free sites started freaking me out, man. A couple years ago, I started getting these sidebar ads for stepbrother and stepsister porn. I was like, I did not search for this. I think I was being targeted by big incest. Yes. I can't relate. My parents are married. My brother's gay. He'd never go for it, you know, so. I just like porn that feels real, you know? I miss the days of pizza guy porn. How cute is that? That is like classic American cinema at this point. Cute guy shows up with a pizza? Sure, I'll blow him, yeah. Eat a pizza afterwards? I think that's a date. And it genuinely turns me on to see workers enjoy real benefits. The people delivering food today, they have no time to be blown. It's very sad. I ordered a pizza last week. I got it frisbee to my front door, for real. It really does excite me to see human beings paid fairly for their labor and time and creativity. My God. My God. I'm so proud of my unions, the Actors Union and the Writers Union, for striking last year. That was hard and bold and brave, but we needed to do it because Hollywood is sick. Nobody loves an incest storyline more than Hollywood. And I'm not talking about some art house shit. You know, I'm talking about the majors. Star Wars, a tale of intergalactic incest. The gross thing about Star Wars is the reveal of incest at the end. Because I'm watching this movie and I'm like riding with these space cuties hoping they get together and they're like, hold up, wait. They're brother and sister. Good night!
Alana walks away.
I'm left to deal with my feelings alone? Help. Game of Thrones, that was unhinged. They had titties and dragons. You need incest too? Knock it off. But the one that surprises me to this day is one of my favorite movies of all time, and that is the iconic film, Clueless. We remember Clueless for its perfect dialogue, its unforgettable fashion, and feminist perspective. It had a female director, but the main storyline in Clueless is about a stepbrother and a stepsister getting together. And when they do at the end, we all go, yes! Finally, these two can fuck, yikes! Huh? And they made it impossible not to find hot. It was a young like Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone. I was 10 years old like, Mom, I love this movie.
She squeezes her legs together.
Ah! Ugh. I guess big incest got me good. Big brother was watching me watch him fuck his sister. Can I ask you guys something? I feel like we just have like a true connection. I just want to ask you, do you guys ever have this experience where you are almost about to reach orgasm, but then you think of your parents dying and lose it?
Alana nods, then shakes her head.
Me neither. Nope. Sorry. Me neither. Nah. I don't care. I don't care. They die. It's a lot of pressure to be a mom, okay? In opposite sex parenting units, it is so uneven for so long, it's crazy. I was pregnant and I was like, okay, well, I'm the only one who can do this between the two of us, so all right, fine, fine, fine. Then I squeezed a baby out of one of my tiniest holes. I was like, cool, 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 got it, got it, got it. Then she's here and I'm making food off of my body, feeding her my milky titties all around town. Finally, she can walk and talk. She's like, mama, mama, mama. I'm all she wants. I'm like, hey, can you help Ethan? Secretly hoping he won't because I'm the belle of the ball, you know?
She poses.
My husband's been like my intern for the past 2 years, you know? He's like, can I get you anything? A coffee, a water, anything to print? I'll tell you one thing daddies can do. Carry shit. They're good at it. They love it. Let them do it. You just load them up like a mountain rescue dog, and they're like...
She shimmies with a smile.
You're like, good daddy. Good daddy, we love you. But shit stays uneven between moms and dads. For a kid's whole life, when moms fuck up, it's a big fucking deal. When dads fuck up, it's kind of hot. Because what happens when dads fuck up? You get daddy issues. Oh. Daddy issues, ooh. What do you do to solve daddy issues? You fuck a bunch of horny older men. What's the issue? Sounds like a fun summer. You know, like... And their branding is so on point. Daddy issues, oh, daddy issues, yes, oh. Those are keywords in a porn search. We don't even have a phrase for it. Issues with your mother. That's a diagnosis. And the diagnosis is you're either merged or separate from your mother. That's all therapy boils down to. My life falls into two categories. I'm either calling my mom or not calling my mom. And when you have issues with your mother, you don't make love to a bunch of beautiful older women. If you're doing that, you're cured, okay? No, when you have issues with your mother, you develop an eating disorder. If you're lucky, you can pivot it into a drug habit. 10 years of therapy, $90,000 later, and you're still desperate for approval. Hence why I'm here with you tonight. My goodness. I'm one of those people, I live for a waiter to tell me, good choice. I'm like, seriously? Stop. Like, I didn't even look at the menu before I came. Seriously. Would you say my order means I'm special? But some cycle has completed for me now that I'm a mom, because I've always been into mom shit. My favorite thing to do my entire adult life on a Friday night is to get a little high and wipe shit down. You get me a hybrid kush, a lemon verbena multi-purpose spray, and a fresh roll of paper towels. I'll see you in 2.5 hours. Turn my phone off, light a candle. That's Shabbat, babe. I'm like, Shabbat, shalom, hey. And when I'm getting high with friends, I'm not getting high and letting loose. I'm getting high and taking care of everybody. Making sure you snacked up. Are you hydrated? And what are we doing with the temperature? Are we making it warmer or doing chili with blankets? I didn't smoke for 10 months when I was pregnant. So I guess you could say, in a way, I did pull out. Okay, there's a connection, so I'm gonna be real with you. It's more like I didn't smoke that much. Oh, that's all. I didn't smoke that much, I didn't drink that much, you know what I mean? I took little sips, I was like, but I couldn't get like donkey balls high, so eventually I just quit it, yeah. And realized what a low-level drug addict I've been for decades, wow. Drinking 6, 7, 8 nights a week? Whoa. Popping a Xanax and 2 Advil to get a facial? Are we sure? girl, it's Tuesday. Now, when I get high, so little gets me so high, it is so scary. This past weekend, I was hanging out with my family, and I was like, you know what? It's mommy's turn to get a little silly now. And we had this 10-milligram weed gummy bear, and I nibbled off just the head. I swear to you, the arms were fully intact, like...
She holds her head and yanks it.
Just like... Shoulders remain, okay? This should have been 2-3 milligrams max. I tell you, when that edible hit, I got so high, my toddler clocked it. She gave my face elevator eyes, looked it up and down and went... I was like, yo, delete, 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 whoa. Sorry, because one of us has to be the designated driver here, you know? Because toddlers are naturally tripping their balls off 24/7. That's just science. They're all like, guonk.
She steps slightly to the side.
My daughter said to me the other day, Mama, show you green. I was like, yeah, show me green, girl. Where is it, baby? Woo!
Spinning around, she waves her arm, then gives the peace sign.
She does good moves, my daughter. She goes, Mama, good move?
She gets on one knee.
Mama, good move? I'm like, yeah, girl, love that move, baby. Never stop moving! I was putting sunscreen on her little face, and the only spot I had left was her forehead, and her little curls were covering it, but my hands were filled with sunscreen. So I said, baby, can you lift your hair off of your forehead? And she was like...
Alana widens her eyes and looks around.
I said, lift your hair, baby. Lift it up off of your forehead. And she went...
Holding up her mic above her head, she slowly dances.
I was like, shit, this girl's rolling. Sit her down, get her a glass of water. Damn. She's going hard, going hard. But I think being a stoner for all these years has made me a better parent. Because it gets me right the fuck on baby level. My daughter's 2.5. For an entire year of her life, she was speaking only in da, da, da. She always, before she had language, she always had ideas to convey, convictions, you know, da, da, da.
She points back and looks around.
Imagine that nightmare, screaming your thoughts and feelings. Nobody has a fucking clue what the fuck you're talking about. Your own mother's like, duh. But then I would remember, I can take a tiny little hit, blow it out the hood fans above the stove, and I'd be like, duh!
She gestures with her hand and snaps her fingers, dancing.
Da, 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 da. You know what she would do? She'd go, I'm like, yeah, girl, I know what you're talking about. Da! Duh.
She hits her own head.
Get high, speak baby. I don't have to fake an ounce of enthusiasm while watching Sesame Street. I'm like...
She rolls her head back, holding her stomach.
Ah, big bird, you old queen, get at it. Yeah.
She wipes her eye.
The theme song comes on, my daughter's literally like, skip, skip. I'm like, mm-mm-mm-mm, sunny day.
She tap dances.
Sweeping the dunka dunk clouds, wow, I love it. It's my favorite show, love it. Fuck the Sopranos, I'm sorry. I cannot watch Tony make another kill, but I must see Cookie Monster deal with addiction. It's in plain sight, it is fucked up. And it's a good practice when you have a little one to move about your day slowly and narrate the action. Give them some sense of control. And I love this practice, it keeps me so present. I'll be like, okay baby, we just clean that stinky tushy with a wipe and a dipe. And a wipe and a dipe. And now I'm gonna pick you up and wait a second, how'd you get so tall when you're still so small? And now I'm gonna put you down in the living room area, and it's just an area, because we live in New York City. If you want distinct space, you need generational wealth. I've been talking like this to myself for years. Get a little high, go outside, I'm like, whoa, here we are again, once again, a little too high. A little too high, and we did it, we did it. And we've been through it before, we can get through this, but public spaces are different than private spaces, I'll tell you that. Different vibe, wow. You know, if you're out on the street, well, the sidewalk. Oh my gosh, walk. Walk. We can walk. We know how to walk. You can walk. You, we, what? I can walk. I know how to. Oh my God, look at that guy and his dog. They look like brothers. What?
Alana winces a laugh.
Now, did he choose the dog because he looked like him, or did that happen over time? Oh. Okay, now we're going down to the subway. Scary! Oh, here it comes. Ding dong, Christmas time is here. It's so cute in New York, everybody's like, my neighbor. That's my neighbor. That guy is jerking off. Oh my gosh.
She winces and walks away.
That's my neighbor who jerks off, okay. Stoned and alone, I'm bordering on psychosis. With my child, excellent parenting. And being a stoner for all these years has made me really good at managing panic attacks. Because of the thousands of times I've gotten high. I have never once gotten high and immediately chilled.
She does a little shimmy, then shakes her head.
I have exclusively gotten high, had a panic attack, and then earned my chill. Yes. That's what makes you a loyal stoner. That's what makes you of the faith, you know? You have the faith to do it again, and do it again, and do it again. You're having a panic attack once a day with a little one, at least. The most mundane actions could mean permanent damage. Walking, and they could gouge a fucking eye out. Eating is a whole production. The line between chewing and choking is razor thin. Back when my kid was a baby, that first time, actually, that we were in Florida, she was eating little chunks of watermelon. She didn't have all her teeth yet. So she's mashing them up in her gums. And I'm watching her eat the way I watch her eat to this day, like this.
She stares intently ahead, forcing a slight smile.
Okay. And when it happened, she started gagging. And I had to wait until it turned into choking to freak the fuck out. So she's like, and on the inside, I'm like, fuck, Jesus, oh my God. I didn't watch the videos, I didn't take the fucking classes. Jesus, fucking, if she dies, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. If you die, I die. That's the pact I made with God the day you were born. But on the outside, I was like,
She tilts her head with a sweet smile.
She keeps going. She's like, on the inside, I was like, woo! On the outside, I was like, When finally, thank Black Jewish Jesus, she went, and I looked at the watermelon, and I looked at her, and I was like, well, girl, now we get to chill for the rest of the day, dog. Toronto, thank you so damn much. Oh my goodness, thank you. Oh my God, it's my honor and privilege. Thank you so much. Thank you. I literally love you. Good night.
A spotlight shines from the balcony onto Alana. She waves, bows, and trots to the backstage. Fade to Black, written and performed by Alana Glazer. Credits continue. Yeah. Copyright 2024, Rotten Science. All rights reserved. Audio description by Point360. Written by Cameron Beck. Voiced by Kathleen Finn. Logos, Rotten Science. Star Picks.